Hey, you had just been listening to Express Yourself by the fantastic Madonna. Welcome to the HIV Hour on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM in the Brighton and Hove area and on DAB Plus Radio.
The one and only Madonna, David.
Yeah, yeah.
There's always room for some Madonna, isn't there?
There is. So, listeners, as you can hear, we have fantastic Stephen Hart in the studio who joined us for the last edition, which was the Pride edition, wasn't it? Yeah.
Pride edition,
Yeah,
yeah,
for
Brighton
Brighton Pride,
Pride.
because obviously you already have London Pride. But you've just had Black Pride, I believe, in London. Is that right?
That's right, last
Yeah.
week. And the lovely Joshua, who's on the show, was speaking there.
Yeah.
Do you know, I've never actually been to Black Pride, David. It's always been that I've been busy or something else has been going on. So next year it's my plan to
Yeah.
go, because I know so many people that were there and I saw so many pictures. It looked like it was a great event.
Yeah, good. And you actually volunteer for a charity that does a lot of work with the communities, don't they? So the NAS project.
NAS, yeah, so
Yeah.
NAS do a lot of different projects for Black and South Asian communities, and yeah, just to give them a space where they can go and where they feel safe and where they
Yeah.
can talk and things like that. So NAS was there in all their colours,
Great.
having a great time with everybody. So yeah.
Fantastic. So, listeners, we've got a bit of a mixed bag for you today. We've got Stephen on Zoom at the moment, and then later on I'll be joined by others, whom I hope is going to be a
Yeah.
surprise on another
Where
Zoom meeting we have. And then, as Stephen quite rightly said, we have Joshua Royal from More to Me Than HIV. He's the poster boy. He's also
Yeah.
involved in his own initiative called HIV, The Naked Truth. He'll be telling
Naked
us
truth.
all about that, including a calendar which might be a perfect gift for some events nearer the end of the year. Dare I mention it too soon? I don't know.
No, don't mention it, David.
No. Right. So, let's have another song, shall we? Here we go.
Yep. Hey, everybody, welcome back to the HIV Hour, 97.2 FM and on DAB, and also our wonderful podcast.
Yeah, and also we just must give our thanks to Jack Russell Technologies, who sponsor us, and we are funded by the Brighton Rainbow Fund, who are also themselves funded by Brighton Pride. So, if you went to Pride, thank you very much, because your hard-earned
Yes,
cash helped us as well.
definitely, definitely.
Stephen, you've been busy lately, haven't you? What have you been up to?
I've been very busy, David. Very busy. My little brain is, it's wound up like a bit of a coil at the moment, because I have been rehearsing my one-man show, Shadow Dreamer. Shadow Dreamer is making a return, which is insane, after 14 years.
Wow.
It ran in New York for 9 months back in 2009 into 2010. Closed off in an off-Broadway theater in late 2010, and that was it, David. I'd done it, I'd been there, and I'd put it to bed because I felt it had done everything it could do. Obviously, I do a lot of talks for Terence Higgins Trust and NAS and all other organizations. And there was just this pull for me to do Shadow Dreamer here in the UK. Now, to be honest, David, I never did it here because of shame and stigma. And it was a lot of it was my own shame and stigma. And I just didn't, I it was too close to home.
Right.
But it's wonderful, isn't it, David, how over the years sometimes hopefully people can start to accept their life and accept their story bit more, and I'm actually very proud of it now. And I have been rehearsing full on, trying to get the script back into my head
Yeah.
after 14 years, so it's been interesting, because also we've had to go through the script. I'm working with a wonderful producer, Richard Pepper, and he's yeah we spent a couple of weeks going through the script, just making sure everything still worked,
Yes, yeah.
so we've made slight changes, David, and they're very slight, but yeah, just to update it,
Yeah, yeah,
to where we are now.
yeah.
So yeah, as I say, my little brain is like trying to cram all the words in, but it's getting there. It's
Yes,
about
yes.
75% there, and
Brilliant.
it opens in just over 2 weeks in Cornwall.
Right.
So
Oh, fantastic. Southwest. Yeah.
It looks I've just seen it on Google Maps, and the area looks beautiful.
Yeah.
So that's Shadow Dreamer. It's coming back, everybody. I've also got a booking for Newcastle. I've got provisional bookings for Margate and Cumbria, and I'm just in talks with somewhere in London who are interested in having it, and also in talks with somewhere in Glasgow.
Right,
So
I think we'd like to have you in Brighton as well, I think.
oh,
Yeah, I'm
it would be
sure.
lovely. It would be
Yeah.
lovely. Yeah. So hopefully, David, once it's up and running,
Yeah.
people will be saying, "Oh, this is the show," and
Yeah,
so it's
yeah. So once
exciting.
word gets round. So it's a one man show, isn't it? And I can say one man without, because you are one man.
I am one man,
So
just one
you're on,
man.
it's just you're on stage, that's it, is it? There's nothing else apart from a few props. Well, I
Apart from a
don't
few
want to, I'm not going to
props.
plot spoil, but anybody that's heard you speak with THG
Yeah.
or with Naz will have a rough idea of some of the events that you might be covering.
Might be
And some
covering.
have been having quite topical in the news, haven't they?
Yes, exactly.
So, I think that's a great time to have it back again. And
Yeah,
like you
so
say, cool.
as you say, David, it's a one-man show, so there's nobody else on stage with me, which is weird for the kind of actor that I've been, because I've always been in big musicals or shows that have got a number of people in it. So to be on your own on the stage is sometimes quite nerve-wracking, because there's nobody to rely on, David. There's nobody else. But at the same time, it's a bit like being self-employed. There's things in it that are scary, but it also gives you this amazing freedom to own the stage and
Yeah.
just absorb what you're saying to the audience. And that's beautiful, because it's great to be able to go out there and connect with the audience from the minute I step on stage. My first line connects with the audience straight away. It's exciting. It's nerve-wracking, but it's exciting. Yeah.
And you have deliberately chosen small venues, haven't you?
Yes.
And
So
why is that?
what I found, David, was that because when I was in New York, I would be performing in completely different venues every single day, because my show was just touring round different spaces. So I would get to the space and I'd be like, okay, this is a space for 500. And then I'd get to another venue and it would be a space for 50. So it was a really interesting way to work the play and find out what worked better. And what I found worked better, David, was smaller, intimate venues where I'm closer to the audience, where the audience can kind of feel as if they are part of the show, and that it involves them from the very beginning. So that's the reason, David, that smaller venues are more, I will do bigger venues, but smaller venues are more up my street at the moment, just because I want there to be that closeness, so that people feel, oh gosh, we're really involved in this, and we're
Yeah,
going on this journey with him.
that intimacy, because you're talking about very personal things, aren't you? It's your story.
And I don't want anybody to feel that they're in such a big venue, David, that they're like, oh, I can't connect with, so it's yeah, that's the idea for the
It's
smaller
sort of, it's
venues.
like one to one almost. The feeling.
Exactly, David. And in acting, we're always taught that there's a fourth wall, which is apparently this fourth wall that's in front of you that separates you from the audience. But with my story, Shadow Dreamer, I break down that fourth wall as soon as I come in, so that the audience are like, okay, there's a
Yeah,
connection
as long
here.
as they know,
There's a yeah, I just want to build up that connection from the minute that they walk through the door, without giving too much away, so it's a lot. It's amazing. But my little brain is I'm finding it harder to do the lines than I did 14 years ago,
Really?
but my acting brain has not been used as much as it
Exercised,
was back then. Yeah, so but it's definitely getting there, and we're really coming on with the script. We had a rehearsal
Brilliant.
last night, and it was, yeah, it's getting to that stage where it's like, okay, I don't need a script anymore. It's in there. It's just getting it all
Because at the
out. So
moment
we
it's Edinburgh Fringe, isn't it? So would you consider going maybe next year or another year to do Edinburgh Fringe?
Well, again, this was something that Richard and I were speaking about last night, David. You know, it was like, you know, the Edinburgh Fringe, the Brighton Fringe, it would, and he said to me, this would be perfect for the Fringe, you know, because it's only an hour, you know, it's all small venues, all that kind of thing. So it's there, it's in the possibility pile at the moment. So yeah, I'm definitely going to look into that, David, and
And
see.
you're Scottish as well. You've got to do the home
And I'm
crowd, haven't
Scottish.
you?
Would you know, David, I did the Edinburgh Fringe a million years ago, and I say a million years ago, I think I was about 22. I did it a long time ago, playing the Happy Prince in a kids show. But that was but obviously Shadow Dreamer is something completely different from that. So it would be lovely to get up to Edinburgh and tell my story. So yeah, we will see what happens.
So you are open to offers if people want to hear you and you go to their town if it's
David,
possible.
I am always open to offers. Any offers at all, I am open to. So yeah, so as I say, I've mentioned the towns where it is. David, you've put together wonderful stuff. You're very clever with posters and flyers and all, you know, making things like that. And you've been helping me with that. And we've set up a QR code, which is something that I wanted, but I had no idea how to do. So you've sorted all that. So we're gonna have all the dates and events on there. But
Yeah, so there's the
yes,
website coming, isn't there? So,
yeah,
but
but
also you can email, you've got your own email address for the show, haven't you?
yep. So it's shadowed10@yahoo.com. Shadowed10@yahoo.com. But as well, if anybody's interested and they want to email the show, you know, I can get any emails there. So yeah, the show is, it's an hour long, it's a 15-minute Q&A. And yeah, it's one act the whole way through. And yeah, it's if you think it would be good for your town, your city, your venue, then get in touch, please. I would love to hear from you.
And you have to, you do have a tagline for the show. It's a Shadow June, a story of.
Survival, determination, and belief.
So yeah, folks,
So,
I think that's appropriate for everybody, isn't it? So thanks ever so
yeah.
much for chatting about it, Steve. And you are going to hang on for a little bit, aren't you? And we're going to have, I think, a break for another song.
This is the world of Radio Reverb.
So I'm delighted to be joined by a friend, and we've known each other for quite a few years now. And welcome, Josh. This is Joshua, in fact, isn't it?
Yes,
Let's just start
Joshua.
that
It's okay.
again. So I'm delighted to be joined by the lovely Joshua Royal, who I know through more to me than HIV. Hello, Joshua. How are
Hello,
you?
David.
So what have you been doing today?
I've been on a beach.
Oh, you've come down to Brighton, haven't
I
you?
come down to Brighton for the day, yes.
Lovely. And you managed to keep
Beautiful
cool.
weather. Nice dip in the sea.
Yeah, lovely. And what was the temperatures like?
Oh, it's cooler in the water, but it's still nice to be on the beach.
So I know you from more to me than HIV. In fact,
Yes.
you are still, or were, our poster boy, weren't you?
I
You were on
was
all the
indeed.
posters. In fact, we had lots of comments about your lovely smile. And as you know, we were exhibiting in the Brighton and Hove Library, the Jubilee Library, for Stigma Day. And that was a really popular exhibition because we actually had people, volunteers from the exhibition manning it as well. So it was great to sort of have added value and have people talking about stigma. And we talked about, well, had over 100 sort of meaningful conversations where people didn't know about you because of you and prep and that. And we managed to reach out and touch 100 people. But you are also involved in, well, you were in on a panel, weren't you?
At Black Pride
at
yesterday,
Black Pride,
yes.
Yeah. So you reached out and touched, well, about 100 people again, wasn't it?
Something about that, yes.
Yeah. So
and it went really well. So,
Yeah. So what
we
was
were talking about
for?
the myths and whether it was true or false. We were trying to get information from the public.
Yeah.
Whether they knew about HIV and theories and myths, and whether they thought they were true or false.
Yeah.
And it's good to get feedback from the audience to like know what they already know, what they don't know.
Yeah.
And with our real message was you equals you.
Yeah.
And that someone who's on effective treatment can't pass on the virus, and that the level of blood is so low that it can't be transmitted.
Yeah. Well, it's a game changer, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it is. Yeah.
Just knowing that you can't pass it on if you're on an effective treatment.
Yeah.
In fact, somebody showed me some statistics, and we talked about it. The exhibition is that, you know, with the opt out testing that, you know, you have to opt out now to go to a certain clinical environments like A&E, and they've discovered, you know, thousands of people with different blood-borne diseases, whether HIV or hepatitis or other things, which they previously didn't know. So it's again, it's really, you know, HIV sort of helping sort of advance healthcare.
And
so
I mean, they have PrEP now, which is like they didn't have that when I was growing up.
Yes,
so
yeah,
and the education in schools wasn't there. So I think education's key, and educating the next generation of people.
Yeah,
that you can live a long and healthy life.
Yeah. In fact, you're involved in a project, and you called The Naked Truth, and that's
HIV The Naked
Tell
Truth.
Me more about that.
So it's a group of like-minded people with a mission to end HIV stigma through the arts. And we were founded in 2020 during COVID, when we brought artists together from around the world during lockdown. And we created artistic videos, got speakers, and we created this event called The Naked Truth.
Right.
And we raised over £1,500 for the Terence Higgins Trust through donations.
Yeah.
And it was a really community-based thing where artists really use the arts as a way of educating others through awareness and telling their stories, and it was a very creative and fun thing to do, and looking back on it, I'm really proud. And now we're taking it to the next level. We're doing other artistic things. We've got a calendar coming out this year. A naked calendar, which is kind of exciting. We've got a few drag queens involved, and then obviously we're still raising money for a gala in 2025 for World AIDS Day.
Right. That's brilliant. So you can have naked drag queens.
Naked drag queens.
Really?
In that, as themselves, yes.
Oh, really? Oh, right. Not going to be like big lip.
No. We stripped it all back raw.
Right. Well, literally, yeah.
Literally raw,
as naked as you can get.
Yeah. It's the big reveal.
Well, that's quite a big step for a drag queen to do, because it is,
and you know,
vulnerability.
And even we've got transgender involved in the calendar at ROA. And I think it's a big thing to come out with your HIV status in a way that's really exposed and vulnerable. You're most vulnerable. And it's a really powerful way to show the body and stamp out stigma.
Of course, I mean, there's the stigma about body shape and
body
size,
shaming,
I mean, with this sort of online social media presence, which is quite awful, really, sometimes some of the abuse that people get. Do you have to be quite supportive?
Well, we had to make it a very comfortable environment for the models, because some of them had never been naked in front of other people before. Obviously partners, when there's a crew of people there,
being naked in public,
and it was a really special moment, like to see the confidence come out. As soon as the camera was there, they just went to a whole new
awareness
and just like confidence. It was beautiful to see, and everyone had such a good time. The vibe was really good, and I'm really impressed with all the images. Like, I think everyone, I give a sneak peek to all the models, and I'm like, let's meet up for coffee, let's have a massage, and I'm just so proud of it, and like it's kind of like an idea, and now it's kind of become the thing. It's almost there. We're getting to the publishing stage now, so they'll be available for pre-sale on the 30th of September via the website, and then our launch party is on the 29th of November at Positive East.
Right, so it's perfect gift.
It's a perfect Christmas present, or you know, to start the new
year coming up soon.
With
November.
Make
it
butt,
time to
you
do
know.
It. Yeah. Well, fantastic. That's not the first thing you've done with The Naked Truth, is it? So tell us about your previous incarnations of.
So really, I first came out with my status in 2020,
right.
And my way of coming out. So it'll be 10 years next year. five years next year. Yeah. But it'll be 10 years next year, me living with HIV.
Right.
So really, The Naked Truth was my way of coming out in an artistic way.
Right.
I hadn't told anyone before other than my mum and dad and my close friends.
Mm.
And I did it in the most artistic and creative way that I could possible. Mm-hmm. And it's there for everyone to see.
Yeah.
Online. And I didn't want to charge people for it. I wanted it to be available to everyone.
Yeah.
And hopefully you can screen it again eventually so people can see the beauty of it.
I think people need to see it again.
It's really...
So I know what your expressive way is, but what, so for the benefit of our listeners, what, how do you express yourself through art?
I think it's telling stories through videography, through dance, through poetry, through music, ways of bringing artists together and creating a story that hits home and really can touch you and make you hit, like, reflect on life.
But your particular skill is as a...
I was a ballet dancer. You're a ballet dancer. Yes, I was a ballet dancer. So there is a video of me dancing. Yeah. Probably the last time you'll see me dancing online, probably.
Oh, really?
Because I don't think I'll go back to my dancing now. But like, I think it was a really special moment to have been included in it. And, you know, I love dance, but I think the standard's so high now.
Right.
Like, to keep it up and to stay in shape.
Yeah.
Now I like to eat my donuts and my steaks and stuff. I think a little bit of meat on the side's okay, you know. But I think for now, I think I just want to let the next generation dancers go ahead. And I like judging. I won't lie. I love judging because I love... I know. Like, I love judging on a panel, you know.
Yes, of course.
But I think there's so much talent out there, you know. So,
what was it like? So were you out as an HIV positive dancer?
No, I never. No, I came out after my dance career. Right, I came out as HIV positive. Right. So I've come out as an out teacher, dance teacher, and adjudicator.
Mm.
But I've never actually come out as a dancer. Mm. So now that's why I really want to use dance as a medium.
Yeah.
To tell the story of HIV and tell the story of awareness and prevention and educate others.
So are you aware of stigma in the dancing world?
There is a lot of stigma. I think back in the day when HIV was around, like, a lot of dancers were diagnosed with HIV, like Freddie Mercury and Rudolf Nureyev, performers that we don't often talk about, but who really, you know, there's a big... industry of dancers dying and in musical theatre as well.
A lot of talent.
And you know, I think we're so lucky now to be in a day and age where there will be a cure for HIV, hopefully, and we can end all
tensions. There will at some point, but it's entirely preventable now.
It is. Hopefully by 2030 we can end all HIV transmissions.
Yeah. So in fact, next year is quite a milestone, isn't it?
It is.
It's 5 years to go until
the
targets.
And
they are ambitious targets, aren't they?
But I think it's meetable if the government do something about it and we really step up our game. Like, I think it's doable.
Yeah. Elton John appeared, didn't he? He went to see both houses of Parliament, the House of Commons.
Yes, there was a big thing about it,
Because you've done work for Terence Higgins Trust yourself, haven't you?
I have done. Yeah. We did The Naked Truth in 2020 and I've done a few campaigns with Gilead as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Find Your Four, Together Voices, and we've done a lot of panel talks and things through them. Really, it's not about me. It's about spreading the message and educating others. I think there's a lot of people who have been through my story of, like, drugs and addiction and are getting infected with HIV through chemsex. And I think if we can help those others that are still struggling with that, in, like, surrounding and circle of friends, I think I can help others and share that message to the younger generation.
Yeah.
Because I'm still learning. I don't know everything.
No.
There's still a lot to learn.
Yes,
it is.
Yeah.
But if I can help someone or save one life or get someone treated early on, then I've done my job, you know.
So which charity are going to be sort of the main beneficiaries of your... The Naked Calendar.
So The Naked Calendar will be supporting Positive East, which is a community-based HIV charity. Mm. They're based in East London, so Shoreditch area, Bethnal Green, very quirky area, and that's where the launch party will be.
Right.
So you'll be able to get your tickets on OutSavvy.
Right.
Via the website www.hivthenakedtruth.com.
Right. So that's for listeners, it's hivthenakedtruth.com.
Yeah. Correct.
So it's all one word.
All one word, yes, good. Yes. But, like, it'll be a party with all the models there, yeah. and there'll be a cake right. and a silent auction, and it'll just be a nice celebration you for had one day's day. What, sorry?
You had me at cake.
No, my friend does really cool cakes, and he's agreed to do a cake, so right. oh. Fresh Prince of Buttercream.
Oh, right. Brilliant.
Yes.
So we'll put a link in the sort of metadata about this episode, and perhaps we can have you on maybe closer, or would you, perhaps we could come and join you for the launch.
You would be more than welcome. You'd be more than welcome. Have a slice of cake.
I will. It's one of the reasons I'm coming.
No, yeah.
So you're in this calendar.
I'm not in this calendar. I decided to wait and see what the result was.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I was like, first one, maybe I'll make a little reveal next year. Yeah. Or
well, you did say quite rightly, it's not about you, isn't it?
And it's not about me. It's about the model stories, and I think it's them sharing their vulnerability and their, it's their story, not mine. But it's been really nice to see the journey of it. I've really enjoyed that.
Well, I hope we can see the Naked Truth, the video. So there is a video available. Yes.
It's on our website.
So it's on your website. Yes. Fantastic. And it's over an hour long, isn't it?
It is, yes.
And it's well worth it. There's some quite famous names from the dance industry.
We've got Mara Galeazzi from the Royal Ballet.
Yeah.
And Sasha Mukhamedov, who's the principal of San Francisco Ballet. So there's some big names.
Oh, great. Joshua, it's been lovely chatting to you, and we hope to sort of interview you nearer the time or learn about all about how it's gone.
Thank you so much.
Ever so much for coming
on. You're welcome.
I forgot quickly before we go. Yeah. You've chosen a song for us to go with it. So, what have you chosen? And why have you
Naked chosen? Ava Max, because it's the theme tune for the Naked Calendar and for being naked.
Brilliant! Thank you ever so much.
Oh, hi, David. It's been a while, hasn't it, since I've been on the show?
Hi, Sue. Yeah, we missed you for the Pride edition, but you were there for the Stigma Day one, weren't you? But last time we saw each other, we were on stage.
You're on stage, you know, shouting and singing about, you know, the new sort of logos and the new sort of, you know, relaunch of the HIVR.
Yeah.
I'm really pleased to be back on.
Yes,
Pride are still going around. I think we've got Manchester Pride this weekend. I think they've been, Gageo has been shouting and raving about that. I think it's this weekend. I'm not sure. I think they've been shouting about it.
They quite often do August Bank Holiday, don't they? I think. But
possibly. So I thought it'd be just nice to sort of reflect on Pride. And a couple of weeks before Pride, I don't know whether you know, David, but, you know, within the work I do at the Terence Higgins Trust, we're connected with the gay men, Brighton and Hove Gay Men's Chorus. I must get that all right because it's all together.
That's the one.
We were so fortunate this year, David, to be their chosen charity, which was absolutely amazing. So basically all the money they raise, you know, the fundraising throughout the year goes to the Terence Higgins Trust. And of course, their Pride show, which was absolutely amazing a couple of weeks ago before Pride, I went to do a speech on behalf of the Terence Higgins Trust. And they were celebrating 10 years of gay marriage. Did you know it's 10 years, David?
Is it really?
10 wow. years. It feels like yesterday we got that news.
So it
was very theatrical in where they were dressing up. And it was just absolutely amazing. And I had the privilege of doing my speech and obviously talking about Pride. And one of the things I always talk about when I talk about Pride is, people are still saying to me to this day, and I'm like, I feel like a broken record because I mention it every single year. But as soon as people stop asking me this question, I will continue to go on about it. And the question is, they ask me, David, is why are we still celebrating Pride? Mm. Is there a need to celebrate Pride? Isn't everything okay now?
Mm.
Right? Mm. And what I say to those people, and this is what I said at my speech at the Gay Men's Chorus. If you've never, ever had to fight for your identity, if you've never, ever had to fight for your true you, please be quiet. Because, you know, when people talk like that, they've never had the fights, they've never had the struggles, had the day, but they've never sort of hid, they've never gone through anguish, stress, and all those things. I, you know, a lot of my LGBTQ plus friends have gone through over the years. So, yeah, it was really great sort of, you know, celebrating the Pride event. And then, of course, a couple of weeks later, we had Brighton Pride. Now, I don't know whether you remember, David, last year in Brighton and home, we had the worst weather ever, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. I mean, we did. It was a storm.
I mean, not only did we have the gale storms, I nearly got blown into the sea with my Pride hat on, but we had the train strikes. Everything was against us, wasn't it? But you know,
it was.
And I do remember, you know, when we were walking around, we didn't have as many thousands as what we did normally have. But, you know, they were still shouting and still supporting us. Obviously, we had an amazing Pride just gone in Brighton and Hove. And I don't know about you, but it just seemed to be more thousands of people there. I don't know, because the sun was there. Everyone was, you know, joking. And, you know, we had a great band you know, on our with the Terence Egan Trust was absolutely amazing. And, you know, what I love about march and shout and dancing and screaming and having good fun is the actual things that the, not necessarily the things that the, you know, the people that we were walking past, you know, a lot of the people have got their hands on their hearts and they're throwing their hands off to us. In other words, they're saying thank you to us, David. And I'm sure we're not people have the organisation within Brighton and Hove that they do that too. But I feel incredibly honoured and, you know, humble that, you know, people are still, you know, and they're tapping their chests, David, and they're sort of, you know, and I'm sort of, you know, doing it back, saying thank you, you know, as I'm seeing all these amazing people from all the communities, you know, all diverse communities. And it was tiring. It took about three hours, but and my feet were literally on the Sunday afterwards.
Oh, that's a long march.
Doing Sunday, I said, putting my feet up and getting over walking nearly 3 hours on the Pride March.
Yeah.
You know what? It was worth it, because I, you know, every year I say, you know, I'm going to just leave it to somebody else to do this year. I'm just going to leave it to other people to do this year. Even my daughter said, I thought you weren't doing it this year, Mum. Oh, I know. You know what, Mum?
Well, to be honest with you, I did have a quiet Pride. I decided I'd stay at home and be house proud. But yeah, but it was nice. I mean, I did actually, funny enough, Josh, our co-host, I did take him down, give him a lift into town to where he was DJing. And I did stay for three quarters of an hour, but I was a bit in pain. And I thought, I stayed for three quarters of an hour and then left. But yeah, everybody seemed to be having a fantastic time. Shall we have a song?
Oh, shall we? Go
yeah,
on.
Yeah, yeah. And what have you chosen?
Oh, the new Kylie one. I mean, she had such a successful event at Hyde Park, didn't she, some weeks ago? And
yes.
I think she's sung her new song, which I can't remember what it was called. No, we did look it up.
It's called My Oh My.
My Oh My. Kylie.
My Oh My, what a good song. So Kylie's always good for a foot tapper, isn't she?
Oh, I tell you what, she's such an icon. I mean, she's got bigger and bigger over the years within the, as a gay icon. I mean, you know, you guys must know that. I mean, she's just amazing anyway. I mean, gosh, I remember her from her I Should Be So Happy. No, happy. I Should Be So Lucky.
That's
back
the one.
In the day. When she was in the Australian soap. So there, I'm showing me age now, David. I'm showing me age.
Well, I remember the wedding tune with Scott and Charlene.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Oh, dear. So, yeah. Well, how far she's come from that, my goodness me.
Yeah. So, listeners, you are listening to Radio Reverb's HIV Hour on 97.2 FM. It's lovely to have you join us. And don't forget, we have a new website address, which is www.hivhour.org.uk. And you can email us at info@hivhour.org.uk. And we have indeed had an email in from a listener who also happens to be a research scientist. And so thank you for emailing us. That's Jonathan Morley. He's a research scientist, and he would like to tell listeners about a study that he's doing. And as a lot of studies do, they have a very long title. So, right, take a deep breath. This study is called
Go on.
Exploring the Impact of Pre-Exposure Prophylactics, PrEP, on the
Yep.
Morphology of Intersectional Stigma Experienced by HIV-Positive Gay Men. So
Oh.
that is the title of the study. And the study has
Right.
two main objectives, and that's firstly to evaluate the impact of PrEP on the stigma experienced by HIV-positive gay men in the UK, and to try and understand how the experience and articulation of stigma has developed with the introduction of PrEP. To see, we know that PrEP is a game changer, so they want to see, how actually it is a game changer. So, we hear anecdotal evidence, and it's good that they do these studies so that they can find out for sure how
Yeah.
it changes. And the second objective of the study is to explore the representation of adapted or new expressions of HIV stigma within the UK public health policy and communication contexts. And that objective is to identify the articulation of a new insight to give voice to men identifying as gay, and its application to support the mitigation of HIV stigma. So that's more to do with how society and the health service
Yeah.
combat stigma, or are trying to combat stigma by the use of language and things. So that's quite a bit more complex than actually interviewing gay men about how they feel about stigma. So
Yeah. Yeah.
Jonathan is looking for participants who identify as male and gay and who are also HIV positive. And he wants to interview them for an hour each. And the study is conducted with the utmost confidentiality, and with all interviewee data is going to be anonymized and encrypted and held on a secure database. And the sort of study place will be the King's College London. So if you're interested, listeners, in taking part of the study, and you are a gay man living with HIV, please contact email Jonathan at jonathan.morley@kcl.ac.uk. That's Jonathan.Morley, Morley, at KCL, King's College London, .ac.uk. Or you could telephone him on 07500 862 942. That's 07500 862 942. Yeah, so that's one research study, but there are research
Oh.
studies happening all the time, aren't there? We've got a very good
Yeah.
clinical research base here in Brighton, don't we?
We do. We do. And of course, and I know you mentioned gay men. I mean, if we go back years ago, that's where predominantly PrEP was given to, wasn't it? Because they were seen as many years ago, seen as that high risk for that medication. Now, obviously, let everyone know that PrEP is now for everyone. There's campaigns going on and research going, PrEP in women, and that's really, because again, in the conversations I'm having, some people still, David, oh, is that just for gay men, PrEP? Where can I get PrEP? But I can't. I'm straight. I'm a woman. I'm what have you? Blah blah blah. I says no, absolutely not. So it's just making sure, because let's, you mentioned game changer. Well, look, what's going to help us, get to that goal 2030, no cases of HIV, is that is one of the ways. Prepping yourself up before you have unprotected sex, stopping you from acquiring, HIV from a sexual partner you don't know the history. And that's for it. All of our names are on that, all communities' names are on that. So I think it's really important as a community, especially in Brighton and Hove, that we really sort of reel those messages that PrEP is now for all of us. I mean, that's a great study though that you've just been talking about, like some of the
But
types of stuff.
interesting, but PrEP, it has
Yeah.
different, people use it in different ways. I mean, obviously, it has the same purpose, but so they're injectable. Is there injectable PrEP hopefully coming online soon?
Yes, they won't be long. They are on the way, on the train here. I'm not sure how long the train's going to take to get here, but they certainly are. And of course, you're going to be able to very soon get PrEP from our community pharmacies, and
That'd be
like
good.
HIV testing and all of that sort of thing.
Be
So,
good. Make it more available
and
to
to be
people.
honest, I think when it happens, we're going to hear about it first in Brighton and Hove, because let's face it, a lot of stuff happened first in Brighton and Hove, doesn't it? We're at the pinnacle of what innovation. I see it. Look, we've got the test machines. Five dotted over the city. We haven't even got these in London yet. So, you know, I feel very proud. And I think, you know, all of us as a community, all communities should be feeling very proud of, you know, where they're living because, you know, lots of great stuff is happening.
I've just noticed our very own Lawson unit has a newsletter that comes out quarterly, roughly, or the latest edition was in the summer. And they've got a page on current research studies that are going on.
Right.
But in the first paragraph, it says that since 1988, the Lawson unit has been involved in HIV and sexual health clinical research.
Okay.
Which is fantastic. Yeah, almost, they say, almost every antiviral drug that is available and has been through been through clinical trials in Brighton. So it just goes to show that, you know, that we're ahead of
the curve. Arrest my case, research. David, you know
exactly.
What I mean?
Yeah, they say in slightly less words than you, but but you say it nicer. You say it in a nicer way.
it's not often. You know, we should, it's often we celebrate the great things and all the things that are the great things that are happening. I know we do talk about stigma, and we should do, we, you know, to talk about it, to face that head on. But let's also celebrate what is also happening on the research, on patient, on you know, getting those people tested. You know, let's celebrate that as well. You know.
In fact, they also say they're going to have a website soon where they list the different studies, and so each study has its own eligibility criteria. Because obviously, as a man, I'd be no use for being a study for women in PrEP, would I? But yeah, so maybe perhaps we could have them on in a future edition of the show.
97.2 FM.
Radio Reverb. Hi, welcome back to the HIV Hour on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM in the BrightonArea.com online. You can also get us, and you're going to help me out with this, Dave, but you know what's the new email address again?
It's info@hivhour.org.uk.
Wonderful. I will get used to saying that, and I may not need your input.
Well, you know HIV Hour, don't you?
I know the HIV. I just wanted to make sure I get that right, but I will.
So the info is information. It's short for information. Obviously, got the app. Yeah. Then you've got HIV app. Yeah. Yeah. And then .org is usually for charities.
Right.
Or community groups. .uk. Yeah. So we're a, so it's, you know, if you're emailing, you're emailing for information at the HIV Hour, which is a charity in the UK. That's an easy way to remember it.
Yeah. Okay.
For me, anyway. We'll test you next time, shall we? So we've got one item of community news that I can think of. We did mention it in a previous show, but it's coming up soon. So, in fact, it's 18th of September. So this is the lovely people at Lunch Positive teaming up with Simon Madrell, who's a poet from the Isle of Man, who now lives in Brighton Hove. And they are doing a team of workshops. So it's called Words for Wellbeing Workshops Living with HIV. So the team at Lunch Positive is launching a series of six workshops which will focus on reading and listening to a variety of work, listening to a variety of works, of memoirs and poetry, prose, spoken work. And all the works will be written and by people who are living with HIV or have lived with HIV.
Yeah.
So the 6 weeks start on Wednesday, the 18th of September, and that goes on until 23rd of October. So it's on Wednesdays, 2 till 5 or 6 till 9. I think once you're enrolled, you'll know the exact times. And that will be in the Dorset Gardens Methodist Church, where Lunch Positive is held every Tuesday and Friday. So sometimes it's really good sometimes for just to get things on paper, isn't it? And just to help you process what you've gone through yourself. So if you've been recently diagnosed or if you've been long-term diagnosed, it might be just useful just to get your thoughts down onto paper, to share your experiences with other people and talk openly in a safe space about HIV. And we've had Simon on the show before. He's a good chap and does some amazing, quite powerful poems. In fact, he did a reading at the first ever Stigma Day in Jubilee Square.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, so he would be the person who would be facilitating those. That's the community news that I have for now.
Yeah.
It's been a bit quiet with international news, hasn't it? I think because of some people's summer holidays and what have
Yes,
you.
A lot of world stuff going on at the moment with other things around the world,
Oh, there's, oh,
elections and.
actually, no, the lovely Philip, who's one of our co-hosts, he actually
Oh yeah, Philip, yeah.
told us about something. So there's a gay British Mexican man who's living with HIV. He has just
Ah,
been
yes.
released from being
Yes.
detained in Qatar. So he had been, what he says, stuck in a honey trap and convicted of drugs charges.
Right.
And he was given a 6-month suspended sentence and a fine. And while in detention, he was reportedly denied his HIV medication and
That's
subject to
correct.
discrimination because of
Emmanuel, I
status on
think it's
identity.
Emmanuel. Emmanuel.
Yeah,
Emmanuel.
so it, yeah, so there was a campaign called Qatar Must Free Manuel. So
Manuel.
the UK and Mexican governments have liaised with the Qatari government. But so yeah, just personally, I'm sure Qatar is a beautiful country and place, but I will not go to anywhere which has got homophobic laws.
No, same here. Same here.
You know, so if you want to welcome me as a tourist, I would love to come. This includes Russia and all the other countries where there are laws that discriminate against us, and you know there's a whole list of them on the Pride website. Sorry, but
Yes.
you don't get my vote or pink pound. So, but yeah, be careful, folks. If you are going on holiday, just be aware of and respect other laws, countries. And there's no blame involved in this. It's from my
Yeah,
perspective.
to
Just
keep safe, isn't it, as well?
just be careful. So on that. Listeners, if you are about to go on your summer holidays, I wish you a very happy holidays. Are you going anywhere on holiday soon, Sue?
Oh, I am, unfortunately.
You are. Oh dear.
I know. I'm going away 10th of September, just for 9 days. I'm off to Tenerife with my best friend Sarah. So yeah.
Oh,
So
brilliant.
yeah.
That's a
How
lovely
dare
island.
I know,
Yeah.
I can't resist. Yeah,
Well, if
no.
we don't have you back on
Okay.
the show before then, have a lovely holiday and thank you for
Well,
listening.
I hope so we'll get a show in with and
Yes.
I'll in the studio. We can work
Yes.
that out, can't we?
Yeah, we will do. All right, then. Thanks a lot, everybody. Cheerio. See you next time.